much, John. Good Saturday morning, everybody. Welcome here to the Peter Ranch Coaches Show. We've got a jam-packed today, as we always do. We'll talk with Craig Rowetter from the Carroll football team, Ryan Steinkamp with the Kemper football team. We'll wrap up the season with Carroll Tiger volleyball coach Riley Ludwig. We'll also wrap up the season with Kemper cross-country coach Thomas Nelson. We'll talk Carroll girls swimming with head coach Deb Danner and Kemper volleyball as well with Rusty Wintermode. All that coming up this morning. Again, we'll get the games from last night. The audio is podcasted on the website, so you can go back and listen to those games from last night. So you got the New Way Auto Group live scoreboard page up with all of the scores from around the state last night. You can also go back and listen to the podcast of the New Way Auto Group scoreboard show, so you can go back and listen to all the coaches' interviews. Our player of the game banners up from last night on the Carroll Broadcasting Sports Network website, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Now, the pairings, we know Carroll has moved in. They're in the postseason. Kemper, Arweva, and Audubon all advanced last night in the playoffs. And all of the pairings are going to come out at around 10 o'clock this morning. So we can't talk about who they're playing, but we do know that we're going to have those four teams playing this coming Friday night. But let's run through last night's scoreboard. A regular season action, Class 3A District 1. It was Carroll over Boyden Hall Rock Valley, 42-13. MOC Floyd Valley rolls by Bishop Heelan, 49-21. And Sergeant Bluff Luton scores late to beat Sioux Center, 28-21. Playoff scoreboard from last night, Class 2A, Kemper over Sheraton, 48-7. Also, some other scores, Prairie State of Monroe beat Des Moines Christian, 41-19. Spirit Lake over Cherokee, 31-27. Van Meter got by Albia, 56-10. Greene County downs Clarinda, 30-6. And Crestwood tops Roland Story, 27-23. Class 1A, ESAC falls to Woodward Granger, 28-6. Dyke New Hartford over Ogden, 54-0. Manson North Webster slides by Hudson, 18-7. OABCAG cruises past Shenandoah, 55-14. Trainer doubles up West Sioux, 28-14. Hinton knocks off AHST of Oka Walnut, 48-20. Emmitsburg blows out Grandview Christian, 57-7. Underwood downs Ridgeview, 21-10. And South Hamilton over Sioux Central, the final there, 22-21. Class A, South Central Calhoun falling to Tri-Center, 41-0. ACGC over Wayne, 28-20. Galen Catholic tops St. Albert, 48-24. Madrid gets by North Tama, 41-6. West Hancock defeats HMS, 65-21. MMRCU beats Loma, 47-14. And that's actually MMCRU. Mount Air over Earlham, 51-50. Riverside edges Linville Sully, 29-27. Woodbury Central knocks off Sibley O'Sheaton, 28-21. In eight-man, Audubon downs East Mills, 38-7. Arweva rolls by Fremont Mills, 51-22. St. Mary's Remsen knocks off West Bend Mallard, 42-8. Woodbine defeated Collins Maxwell, 50-14. Cam outscores GTRA, 67-64. It was Janesville over St. Edmund, 56-14. Bedford downs Belle Plaine, 18-12. And Lennox rolls past Exiroc and Kimbleton, 72-16. Other scores from 3A and 4A with our area districts and conference teams and just some teams of interest that Carroll may end up seeing in the 3A playoffs. Algona Beach, Hampton, Dumont, 31-6. Ballard shuts out Boone, 42-0. Benton Community knocks off Williamsburg, 21-0. Carlisle tops Bondurant Farrar, 21-14. Clear Lake shuts out Charles City, 56-0. Creston edges Perry, 50-49. Gilbert defeated Pella, 14-7. Harlan rolls by Knoxville, 42-7. Humboldt doubles up Webster City, 28-14. Lamars shuts out Storm Lake, 49-0. Nevada cruises by Atlantic, 42-7. North Polk knocks off ADM, 27-14. Norwalk over Glenwood, 29-26. And Solon flattens South Tama by a final of 54-6. College, the World Series, it was L.A. beating the Yankees 6-3 in 10 innings. We'll stop boy Craig Rowetter waiting to join us next year on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show.
When you need a quick meal or one on the go, your Carol Pizza Ranch has great deals for carryout and delivery. Order online and get 8 pizzas of country's best chicken with potato wedges for only $20. How about 2 large pizzas for $25? Or get 2 medium single topping pizzas, cheesy ranch sticks, and a cactus bread for just $20. Check out these deals and more at pizzaranch.com today and order hot and fresh. Pizza Ranch, located off Highway 30 in Carroll, open 7 days a week.
Whoa, that's good.
Well, it is official. We found out last night, about 10 minutes after 11 o'clock, the Carroll Tigers are in the Class 3A playoffs. We had a feeling. Joining us right now is Tiger head football coach Craig Rowetter. They pick up a convincing 42-13 win at Boyden Hall Rock Valley last night, cementing themselves into the postseason. Coach, I know there was some concerns maybe after the game, the way some of the other games around the state were playing out, but it worked out. You guys moved up even in the RPI, so first, congrats on the win last night. Second, thanks for joining us. And third, congrats for getting into the postseason and the playoffs.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Great day to be alive, great day to be a Tiger. So it was, it was a little, kind of not really a roller coaster, but, you know, thinking winning, you're in, and playing really well last night. And but then hearing some of the scores after our game was like, okay, what's that do to us? So, but yeah, it was a great night, and even better once the official announcement was made.
Well, we won't know until about 10 o'clock or sometime around 10 o'clock this morning where you're at. We do know you'll be on the road. I guess my first question before we start talking about that big win last night, you guys didn't get the 2 seed because of the RPI in the district, but how does the district standings break down with a 3-way tie for second? Do you guys all get considered in a way a second place team, or how do they break that tie?
It was a little bit crazy with we thumped MOC thumped Helan, and Helan thumped us. So
yep.
It was a perfect 3-way tie with the win-loss record, the point differential, because it was all 17 plus, and then I kind of, not that there isn't a, well, there isn't a perfect way, because then it comes down to the alphabet, and B comes before C, at least that's what I've learned, so
yep.
Public school education there, and so we unfortunately didn't get the tiebreaker there due to the alphabet.
Are you guys the 3 then in the district, or does it not matter?
It doesn't really matter. We would be, though, because then after that tiebreaker, then it goes head-to-head.
Okay.
And so we beat MOC head-to-head. So technically, yes, we were 3rd in the district.
But, again, still a road game. That doesn't bother you, though, because last night you told me after the game you guys play better on the road.
Yeah, look at our – we've only had 1 road loss. So we got some new road uniforms this year, and they've treated us really well. So we're not – you know, and part of that's probably – you know, playing with a veteran team with, a great group of seniors. And, we're just excited to be in and not really worried about who we play. Just need to find out and start preparing.
As we're waiting, there's kind of 4 possibles that you're really thinking: Nevada, Algona, Humboldt, Sturgeon Bluff, Luton, kind of the 4 spots you're thinking are the best chances that you could end up?
Yeah, I think those are probably the options. I know the state doesn't love doing district rematches, but when, you know, 4 schools get in from 1 district, it's tough to avoid that, especially when we're all crammed in the western side. So, I don't know if that comes, if they worry about district standings more than RPI, you know, if that puts MOC over with Sergeant Bluff again, but I kind of, my gut reaction was probably Humboldt or Algona, and, some of my Harlan buddies kind of were keeping me updated last night, and they think maybe we'll go to Nevada, but I guess we'll find out in a couple hours here.
Yeah, we will. Looking forward to that. All I know is we'll cover you guys. You'll be on the radio no matter where you go, and we'll look forward to it. I guess the only thing that could determine anything is the direction you go with Nick Living and Ames. If you go to Nevada, that's a nice short trip for him. If you go somewhere else, it could depend on who we can get there, but you will be covered. You mentioned, a great senior class. You guys like playing on the road, jumped up 28-0 last night, and really dominant, especially in that first half. Again, I don't know what the official numbers are, but I had them for just 34 yards of offense in the first half. So we talked a little bit about how good the offense was last night early in our post-game interview for the New Way Auto Group scoreboard show, but had to be really happy after maybe the first two or three plays that they ran last night on how well your defense played in the first half.
Yeah, outside of their first, like you just said, after their first 3 to 4 plays, that was probably 3/4 of their offense for the half. So our defensive line did really good, just kind of holding down the pressure. And if we knew they'd probably run a little read and stuff like that. So they just sat and let the linebackers clean up. And, and again, when they tried throwing, we had everybody covered. So that was just, I was really happy with the way we executed just fundamentally on defense there that first half.
Looked like you got a great push up the middle last night. I saw the center a lot of times in the quarterback's face, even in the running back's face when they were trying to run the ball.
Yeah, and that's Jason Avalez. We missed him there for a couple games in the middle of the season. Had a little shoulder injury before our MOC game, so we were without him for a couple weeks. But yeah, he's tough. You can ask Mox Olberding. Jason gives us a look on scout team sometimes, and the good news is Mox doesn't usually see anybody quite that good on a Friday night. So it's nice for him too to see somebody, that tough. But it's great to have him on our side.
Coach, offensively, you said last night they tried to take away Taden Peterson. You guys are okay with that because that just means you can rely a little more on Reese Zygmunt and even Carter Essick in the run or pass game.
Yeah, it's great having options. We've been able to lean pretty heavy on Taden. I think I've said it more weeks than not, trying to find some more touches for Reese just because we know how explosive he can be. And it just worked out. We did put, that new package in last night to get Reese in the backfield with some carries and had a couple nice tossed plays and even cut up a couple of nice ones where after we bounced to the edge, then they were kind of overflowing wide. And so then he was able to cut underneath that. So, yeah, and he's always a threat, especially if they're going to play man coverage in the passing game. So, I'm not sure what – I'd have to double check on the – but I don't know if Carter had more than a couple incompletions last night. So – when you have as many touchdowns as you do incompletions, that's a pretty good night.
Yeah, absolutely. You also found another running back last night, Logan Mankin, for a second week in a row, showing those ball-carrying abilities.
Well, I don't know about abilities there. he will go down in the record books with a touchdown.
Yeah.
So I almost had that, like I said last night, we 2 weeks in a row, falling short at the 1 yard line. I couldn't do that to the kids. We had to get them in there.
Coach, up 28-0 at half. I hate to almost seem like I'm pouring a water on the performance last night, but were you disappointed that Boydenhall got some things going in the third quarter offensively?
Oh yeah, I mean yes and no, because it just shows our guys that hey, you still gotta execute and buckle up and nobody's just going to lay down and give you anything. And I knew that going in, that being their first game of the year, played in Rock Valley after the flooding, and it was senior night for them. So, I mean, they're just well coached. So it was, credit to them that they didn't just roll over, because it would have been easy to do so, knowing that, your season was done regardless and, down 4 scores at halftime. So they came out and fought, and on the positive side of that, the offense didn't really waver, and when they did score, our offense kind of did the old shrug, and all right, well, kind of like second half at MOC, our offense was just like, well, we'll put another one in and, give you another shot. So, but the best part is on Monday, there's stuff now after a win, and a big win, because it was a must win.
Yep.
There's stuff to correct.
Coach, healthy going into the playoffs next week? Did you guys get out of that last night healthy?
Yeah, we got out last night healthy and then got good news. Jaden Flug was a little banged up with the knee injury from the previous week from Sioux Center. So he sat out last night, and, you know, Miles Pudens did a nice job filling in for him up front on the offensive line, and nothing structurally torn or anything. So I think hopefully with a good week of practice, we should get Fluke back for the first round of the playoffs. So, yeah, nothing bad last night, and looking to be full strength coming for the first round.
Well, Coach, we'll see which one of us is quicker on the refresh this morning on the association's page as we wait for those pairings to come out. The nice thing is we know for sure you guys are going to be in them. We just don't know for sure where.
Yeah, yep. Anyone's guess. I wouldn't guess they'd throw us Northwest for 4 years in a row either in the district side of things. So who knows? Maybe we'll go to Williamsburg or something. We'll see who I made mad over there this time or something. But, yeah, your guess is as good as mine. But like we said earlier, we're just, you know, excited to be part of it.
Well, Coach, as always, congratulations on the win last night. Outstanding football team. So thanks for joining us here today, and enjoy breaking down the game film, getting ready for next week.
Yep, thanks, Jeff. And like you said, all season long, we've appreciated the coverage, and go Tigers.
Head Coach Craig Rowetter again with the Carroll Tigers, back with more of the Pete's Ranch Coaches Show. Ryan Steinkamp set to join us and talk about their big win in the opening round of the playoffs last night.
Get ready for a day of horsepower and history at the Horse Till Show tomorrow from noon to 4 p.m. at the Manning House Barn. Entry is just $15 per person. Kids 12 and under plus members get in free. Watch over 20 draft horse teams showcase their skills tomorrow in Manning.
Ryan Steinkamp, head football coach of the Kemper Knights, joining Casey Miners at Carroll Broadcasting Sports Network here on the Saturday morning Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. And, Coach, I'm going to be the first to congratulate you on a big win last night. You guys knock off Sheraton 48-7. It was 41-0 at half. I'm assuming you got to get a lot of kids into the ball game last night, and that's always good coming in and picking up a first-round playoff victory like that.
Absolutely. No, really proud of the way our kids play. No, there's no real drop-off. They all came out there and played hard, and just, yeah, excellent overall team effort.
Walk us through the game a little bit for you guys. The first quarter, I think, jumped out 21-0, if I'm correct, then led 41-0 at the half. What was it that really got the offense going in the first half for you guys?
I thought, you know, it was all three levels. The O-line did great, and then running backs were running hard, and then Brock did a great job of hitting his targets. Shooters ran good routes, made plays. That was a great thing to see. And then defensively, the kids did a great job of executing the game plan.
What was that game plan offensively going into the game for you guys? And was it to throw the football a little bit more, kind of start running the football? What was that game plan?
They run like a man defense, too, so a little bit of kind of motion, see what's there, see how they adjust to it. And then, obviously, we always want to run the ball first, and then we have passing opportunities. It's just a great thing to get our kids the ball in space.
How do you feel the line blocked up front for you guys? Sound like Jaron Hoffman had a pretty good night rushing the football.
Yeah, line did good, too. I mean, they're getting all out effort. You know, Sheraton brought the pressure a few times, but the O-line stepped up. We got better as the game went on.
You guys are really starting to click right now at the right time. What is it with the offense that's starting to click? Is it just more familiarity with each other? Is it more film study, getting more time together? What's with the offense starting to click right now for you guys?
A little bit of everything, too. You know, they've been putting extra work at practice. I know they spent a lot of time on film. And all of it's just a camaraderie. Like, you know, we got a group of guys that like love being around each other, care about each other, too. So I think they're finding their knack, and everybody's, you know, understanding their roles and just playing great team ball.
What did you see from Brock throwing the football tonight? I know he found Braxton for a couple of touchdowns. What did you see from your junior quarterback, you know, getting to start another playoff game in his career?
Yeah, I mean, he's just poised. You know, he moved well in the pocket, hit the open guys, and didn't hold the ball too long, too. Just threw some accurate passes, and the kids ran great routes, got open.
Defensively, now taking a look at it, how do you feel you guys played? I knew coming into the game that Sheraton was going to want to run the football a lot. How did you do against the run, and did the kids kind of execute the game plan to perfection?
Yeah, I thought the kids did a great job, too. They were physical. The kids had the mindset, you know, they wanted to be the aggressors. And, yeah, just really overall happy with the way our front seven played. You know, they caught us on the passes a few times, but, you know, when you're selling out the stuff about you, that's going to happen.
What did you see from the defense, and who really played well for you guys along, you know, the defensive front line just in general on the defense tonight against Sheridan?
I thought, you know, Brayton Alford had a great day. You know, Kent and Tate continue to do well. Also, you know, Sean Healy, Kobe Pierce did a great job.
What is it with Kent and Tate? You know, they just seem to work really well together as a tandem at linebacker. I would arguably say, you know, two of the best linebackers that you guys have on your team in Class 2A. What is it about those two that kind of gets your defense going?
They're just, you know, they're great at reading plays. You know, they put a lot of time and effort into it. You know, they're not the biggest guys, but they play with a lot of heart and very just physical and aggressive.
How do you feel the kids did the game plan, you know, perfectly? I didn't quite see what Sheraton had rushing the football tonight. Do you feel like, you know, they executed your game plan really well?
Yeah, yeah. You know, at this point in the season, you know, the goal is just to be 1-0 each Friday. So, yeah, just happy with that, too. We'll take it, you know, one game at a time.
Any injuries in the game for you guys to really deal with? I'm assuming you kind of got the starters out pretty quick tonight, you know, to get some of the younger kids in, but any, you know, injuries dealing with going into next week?
No injuries.
You got to get, I'm assuming, some of the younger kids into the game, and how does that build their confidence, you know, going forward, not just this season, but into next season, that they got to participate in a state playoff football game?
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. It's a great confidence booster for them, too. They did a good job when they're in there. So, yeah, really happy for all of our kids.
Who out of that second group really played well for you guys tonight, do you feel, on both sides of the football?
Oh, I thought that, you know, Tyler Lizey did a great job at linebacker. You know, Teddy Perkins keeps on making plays. You know, Charlie Mayhall, Carter Running. Those great seniors, some of the seniors get there, too.
You know, a lot of those seniors, they get a run scout team for you. You know, you mentioned just got to get into the game. You know, it's nice to see kids like that do that, run your scout teams, you know, help the varsity kids prepare, get to get awarded like that, especially on one of the last times they could potentially get a play at home. That's got to mean a lot, too.
Oh, absolutely. It's huge. I mean, our varsity guys do nothing that our scout team do. Those guys go out and do a great job, too. They have a lot of fun. I'm so happy and proud of those kids.
How do you feel the special teams played for you guys last night? Any big punt returns, punt blocks, anything like that for you?
Yeah, I did a good job. Austin Heinrichs returned the opening kickoff in the second half, so that was a great start, too. He did a great job just grabbing it, going, and flying, and finishing. The kid was chasing the whole way, too, and he finished the run. So that was awesome to see that happen.
It seems like Austin Heinrichs has been one of those sophomores that's kind of come on in practice, seeing some more varsity playing time. What are you seeing from him on the field? And it seems like he's contributing in a big way for you guys.
Yeah, he's done a great job. I mean, he started the year scout team guys, worked his way up, too, so just a great representation of, you know, putting the time in and working hard, and just he's very coachable, too. So I'm really proud of him for that, too. It's great to see him have that success.
You guys going to be back at home coming up on Friday. We won't know who you play until, you know, later on tonight, this morning, at 10 o'clock. Any kind of thoughts on who it might be? Just kind of looking forward to the home game at this point?
Whoever they tell us we're playing, we'll be excited about the opportunity.
Coach, I want to thank you for joining me, and good luck coming up next week. We look forward to covering you guys and potentially back at home on Friday.
Awesome, absolutely. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the coverage.
When you need a quick meal or one on the go, your Carroll Pizza Ranch has great deals for carryout and delivery. Order online and get 8 pizzas of country's best chicken with potato wedges for only $20. How about 2 large pizzas for $25? Or get 2 medium single-topping pizzas, cheesy ranch sticks, and a cactus bread for just $20. Check out these deals and more at pizzaranch.com today and order hot and fresh. Pizza Ranch, located off Highway 30 in Carroll, open 7 days a week.
Whoa, that's good.
Welcome back here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. Jeff Langman joined here today by Riley Ludwig, of course, the first-year head coach for the Carroll Tigers as they wrapped up the season on Thursday night, falling down at Lewis Central in 3. But a terrific season going 18-18. Coach, for the goals for you coming in, did you think 500 or above for this team coming into this season in your first year as the head coach?
No, not necessarily. I'm pretty happy with how we ended this year.
I knew the answer to that. You had a smile on your face. And I know you were really happy on Thursday night. Disappointed to come to an end.
Yeah.
But you love the effort that your team gave out on Thursday night.
Yeah, I really can't ask for anything more from them.
What stood out for you about the way they played Thursday night now that you've had a little time to reflect back?
Just their hustle and their want to win. I feel like Thursday night we saw a lot more of not letting balls drop, chasing down balls, doing everything that we possibly could to win, and that's something that we've been working on all season. So.
You mentioned that night that the student section was right there by your girls. Do you think they took that a little personal, that they had a student section yelling at them and they were kind of showing them, hey, we're here to play against you?
Yeah, and we haven't had a student section like that all year so far, so the fact that it was, you know, Thursday night, second round, first time, big game. Yeah.
What's it been like to coach in the postseason for you? First time in the postseason for you. So what do you take away as a coach, and what did you learn from the 2 matches your coach did?
I think just knowing that if we peak at the right time, and also building those habits all season, is really important. We can't let up at practice. You know, on Fridays we get to football games. We can't just, you know, practice easy on Mondays before Tuesday night games. We still got to go hard and keep pushing ourselves all year.
Did you feel like this team kind of learned that as this season went on?
Yeah, they didn't like those morning practices there for a while, but we were able to get up and show up on Saturday mornings, and we had a season that I don't know if anybody thought we'd have. So once we got that under control, we it went well.
Well, if they learn from you, they're going to love early mornings, because you're probably the most bubbly coach I've ever talked to at 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning. You like waking up early, right?
Oh, yeah. I get a lot more done in the morning than at night, for sure.
So for this team, I know early in the season, one of the things when we talked in the preseason was learning that those weekend tournaments are important, because it helps your record, helps the seeding that you get at the postseason time of the year. Did you feel like you got what you wanted to as the season went on those weekend tournaments?
Yeah, looking back, there's a couple that I think we could have, should have won, but we didn't leave a tournament with a losing record until the very end. And I mean, going 18-18, we only won two conference games, so our other 16 wins came from, you know, tournament time or tournament weekends.
Which tournaments jump out to you maybe as the ones you played the best this season? The Carroll one, probably one of them, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've been in the semifinals at our own tournament, so that was fun. Getting second place, we got a medal. And then our very first tournament at Harlan, we went 5-1. And to start the season off like that, I think gave us a lot of confidence, but it also showed what we can do and what we're capable of.
What was it with that tournament and the girls and going out? I know it was a long time ago, but to get the season off to that kind of a start.
Yeah, I think it was just the excitement of finally being ready to play. You know, we've been working all summer, and then first Saturday we had to wait around for like an hour for officials, and it didn't start off as well as what we thought, but they showed a lot of fight that day and showed that they can do it, they're capable, and it took them a long time to believe that they were good volleyball players. And I think we got there.
Where did you think this team grew the most as the season? What areas were you really happy with the improvement?
I think just mentally. The past couple years, I think it would have been really easy for us to just roll over on Thursday night after that first set, especially losing so close and just wanting it so bad. But they came out and they continued playing the whole game. Mentally, we improved a ton.
I told Emily Puck Thursday night that for a girl to step in first year as a varsity setter as a senior to go out and lead a team to an 18-18 record, mm-hmm. I thought she really played well. As a former setter yourself, I think I've asked you this before, but now that the season's over, where did you see her grow the most?
Her decision-making got so much better towards the end of the season, just knowing and seeing the block on the other side, knowing where their defense is at, and knowing who is on, and just choosing wisely about who to set to and what set to set.
She was one of the four seniors that I got a chance to talk to Thursday night. Let's kind of look at all of them. Let's start with Olivia Rowetter, legend hitting on the year in kills. I teased her the other night that she was the queen of the homecoming and that, you know, and stuff. But what a season she put together. Always goes up and swings hard and plays well for you.
Yeah. Yeah, Liv is just such, she just has such a presence on the court. And I know I say that all the time, but her calmness and just her ability to just do things and lead by example is just so amazing. And without her on the court, I don't know if we would have been where we were this year.
Can you ever get her, like, not to be that calm? Does she ever get a little rowdy and crazy?
No. And her parents tell me it comes all from her dad. So we can blame that one on Rowe.
Yeah, I was going to say, because he never really gets too emotional, does he?
No.
Let's move on to Caitlin Aiden. What did you see from her? Nice to have her for a full season. I told her that the other night. Missed the last year, most of it as a junior with an injury. But what a tremendous player. Man, she explodes off the ground.
Yeah, she can jump for sure. I think just her improving so much mentally, and like getting over the fact that she was scared to be re-injured, and she's all over the floor, hit her face on the floor a couple times diving after balls. Just her hustle was awesome, and her vocal presence, her and Marison both, they talked a lot, and they talked loud, they encouraged all the time, all day in practice, everything.
And I thought Caitlin really grew in the back row as the season went on.
Yes, her serve receive improved so much. I don't know if any of us really thought she'd be able to play back row this year, and there she was, all over the floor, serve receive, defense, everything.
Left Marison Wittrock for last. I teased her the other night. She dives on the floor, gets a bruise, and gets up smiling and laughing. That girl plays with so much energy.
She's going to have, we have some hard shoes to fill with her, for sure. Same with her. She's vocal, she's encouraging, but she also holds us accountable. Like, there's not a day in practice where she's not like, hey, I think we need to do better, or I need to do better. She's hard on herself, too.
And Kaya Wittrock was a DS and came in and served for us a couple times. She was a senior and worked really, really hard in practice. And when she came in to serve, she definitely did her job and got a couple aces here and there, and we're going to miss her too.
A lot of young players got some experience. Yep. You've got some good talent coming back. I think there's a lot of excitement right now with the direction the program's heading. What do you want to see from the returning girls in the offseason? I know they want to play other sports and everything, but what do they need to get better on, and what's the focus in the offseason?
We got to get in the gym and get stronger and jump.
Is that the biggest thing?
We got to jump. Yeah.
Got to jump?
We got to jump. We got to hit hard, and we got to work on our skills. We got to make some of those habits and not just have to work back at the basics when we're in October.
Yeah, you're not blessed with a bunch of 6'2 and 6'3 girls, right?
No. No, we got to jump.
Coach, it's been so much fun. I'm going to miss those early Saturday morning conversations with you here, but appreciate you joining us throughout the season for everything, and congrats on a tremendous season.
Yeah, thanks, and thanks for your coverage. We appreciate it.
You bet. Head Coach Riley Ludwig again with the Carroll Tigers, back with more from the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show here on KCIM.
The St. Anthony Clinic in Carroll now offers same-day appointments with Sarah Gremman, PA, and Kendra Peter, ARMP. Same-day appointments are available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So if you're needing to see a medical professional, even if you have a sore throat or a cough, fever, cuts, earaches, or your child isn't feeling well, you can get a same-day appointment by calling St. Anthony Clinic at 792-2222. St. Anthony Regional Hospital. Always look to the cross. Always St. Anthony.
Thomas Nelson, the head cross country coach with the Kemper cross country teams, joining us here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show as we wrap up the season with the Knights. They headed over to Gilbert at the Iowa State University course for the state qualifying meet on Wednesday. And coach, it sounds like outstanding day as far as time wise. But you had told me when the locations and the sites had come out, when you guys knew you were going over there, that this was a loaded field for both the boys and girls, and it proved out that way.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me one more time this year. We went out to Gilbert, and we knew it was going to be really, really good competition, and that's exactly what we got, you know. And I thought our kids did a pretty good job kind of rising to that competition. We had tons of PRs on the boys and girls side, so I was really happy with that effort and really happy with how they held themselves against that competition during our last meet.
And coach, you mentioned 14 boys ran that day, almost all of them with PRs for the season. So that tells you how strong the competition was. How did you feel like everybody ran, and what stood out for you? Let's start with the boys.
On the boys' side, I thought we just had a really solid effort, you know, 1 through 7. I think specifically Fletch getting all the way down to 1709 was really awesome. Wyatt, again, he's been jumping down. He started in the 20s this year, and he got down all the way to 1825. He's a kid who really just started dedicating himself to running and track last year, and he's completely bought in. He's doing all the stuff we ask, and seeing some really good results there. So, can't wait to see him in track again this next year. I thought Thomas did really good. He ran a PR of his best race, you know, of his career and of the season. And that was really awesome to see, because he's kind of been battling chin splints all year. And to see him have a really strong race to finish things was really good. And then Evan Schaefer, you know, the one senior we had running, goes to 1732. He got 29th. He's a kid who was his first year doing cross country. And so to finish his cross country career with a PR was really good. You know, Dayton fought as hard as he could. He knew he had to try to get in the top 15. He put himself out there. He was there at the 2 mile mark. He just couldn't quite hold on to the end, but I was really proud that he went and got himself out in that position instead of trying to catch up to it later. And I know the first mile was crazy, crazy fast, and he didn't let it faze him. He just tried to stay and hang as long as he could. And a couple kids had a little more gas in the tank, but otherwise I thought he had a really good race.
Coach, I just wanted to bring this up for a second. I know it's not even one of the schools we cover, but talks about the strength of the meet that you guys were at on Wednesday. Gilbert sweeps the top 5 spots individually on the boys' side. Have you ever seen anything like that at a state qualifying meet?
Not at a state qualifying meet, no. In Lewis Central, you know, last year, Lewis Central had quite a few up there, but the top 5 and the way they did it, it was really, really impressive. It was, again, the competition there was fantastic. You know, and even our kids, like, towards our guys who got 6 and 7, Jacob McCarger and Cohen, they both had big PRs, too. They finished 57 and 63. At any other meet, those guys would be in, like, the 30s. But it was an incredibly, incredibly difficult meet. But they still found a way to compete. So I was happy with them for doing that.
On the boys' side of things, what do you take away from this whole season? You mentioned just Evan Schaefer, the only senior. So a lot of really good runners going to be coming back for this team.
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway is give tons of credit to Dayton. He worked really hard over the last offseason. He probably put the most miles of anyone in during last summer, and he saw a huge improvement. And, you know, I told the rest of our guys, like, you know, we need to start next season where we're finishing this one. So we got to start a little earlier in the summer so that we're coming into season in a little better shape, and that way we just pick off where we left off from instead of, you know, having to backtrack a little and try to get back to that point. And I know those guys will are looking forward to doing that because they realize this team next year has a ton of potential. You know, I know our middle school runners already have been meeting occasionally and doing long, easy runs because they're pumped up for next season too. So I just think boys side wise, like you said, returning so many kids, having the seniors who will be the seniors next year, who four of them have ran varsity for 4 years now, Dayton, Fletch, Thomas, and Jacob. I just think there'll be a lot of excitement, and that'll encourage them to do, you know, I guess metaphorically go the extra mile and literally probably go the extra mile too in the off season to make sure we're ready to go.
Coach, was there one meet for the boys that jumped out to you this year that said, "Yeah, wow, that was a really good performance"?
You know, I think Glenwood. I know it was the first meet, and we had better meets as the season went on. But I think it set the tone for, like, hey, this is what we're capable of being. And so I think that meet really gave our kids a lot of confidence to then have those strong meets later in the season because they realized, you know, even though we lost a bunch of good runners from last year, that these guys were good enough to kind of handle themselves and hold their own. And I think they did that really well all season.
Let's switch over now to the girls, Casey Weeder and Ledja in 39th, as she has all season long, with Addie Davis right behind her. You mentioned that this was a special year for the girls at the state qualifying meet because they accomplished something that hasn't been done for a while.
Yeah, so we had all seven of our girls PR'd, which I think was really awesome. And for our team, the highest time was 24.07. And we haven't had seven girls all under 25 in quite a while. And, you know, we had a bunch of girls in 23. Addie Davis ran a career best 22.16. Anna Seidel had cut about a minute 30 off her PR. She ran 23.02. I just thought the girls did a really, really good job competing. And, you know, as a girls team, we knew we weren't really in a position to compete to qualify for state. So, you know, really they were just running for their pride. And I thought they finished the season really, really well. And, you know, we had a senior as an alternate, Sophie Tidgren, who has been a great member of our team for years. But we didn't have any seniors running at the state qualifier. So all those girls will come back. And we've got Haley Owen and Grace Schoonover, as well as some other eighth graders who I know are looking forward to coming up. So I'm really excited to see what the girls team can do over the offseason next year as well.
I was going to say, Coach, it almost kind of says something about the competitiveness and what they care about across country, that, as you said, no real chance to probably get to the state meet, but they all go out and run the best that they have all season long. That tells you what it means to them.
Yeah, and you know, that's not easy to do. And, you know, like I said, some of those PRs with Addie and Shelby, you know, Casey PR'd too, and Casey to come in, and, you know, it's her first year running cross country, and to be our lead runner all year, I thought was really exceptional. I know she was a bit frustrated because her hip was bugging her during the race, but she still managed to finish really well. And I thought that kind of showed the mental toughness that, I know I've mentioned that she kind of brought that aspect to our team couple other times, and I think she really showed it there, and some other girls are starting to show that as well. So I think she had a really good race too.
What can the future be for this group next year and for the next few years?
I think it's the same kind of focus as the boys is, let's start next season at this point and not have to work to get there. So being more focused over the summer, doing more of the team runs, running a little more on their own, being focused in the weight room is a big thing too. I think these girls have a ton of potential, and I think both Carroll and Kemper Catholic 4x8 teams in distance, cruise and track, I'm definitely encouraging all these girls to do track for both schools, have a ton of potential too, and I look forward to seeing them compete against each other in those events as well, because the kind of the sky's the limit for them. It's just, you know, how much work do we want to put in.
Coach, you mentioned that the Glenwood meet to start the season for the boys was kind of the one that stood out for you for the boys. What meet stood out for you for the girls?
I thought probably like Atlantic for the girls. Started kind of a series of really good races for, you know, that's kind of when we were starting to identify really who were our varsity runners were going to be for the rest of the year. Anna really started to step up, and, you know, she moves from a JV runner to being our third varsity runner over the course of the season. And I think that was a really good meet for her. Hazel Clausen ran pretty well, starting at Atlantic and then just kept going and worked her way up to varsity, you know, for this last district meet. And I thought Shelby and Addy ran pretty good there too. So I thought that was kind of set the tone for our final couple meets.
Well, Coach, as always, we thank you for everything all season long. Appreciate you making sure that we got results, especially when I texted the other night that hadn't gotten anything from Gilbert yet. So we appreciate all the help, and we appreciate you joining us here each and every Saturday morning, and we look forward to next year.
Well, thank you for all the coverage and everything you do. Have a great winter.
You as well. Head Coach Thomas Nelson again with the Kemper Cross Country Teams.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association at this station.
We're back here at the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show talking Carroll Girls Swimming right now. Is joining us, of course, is Head Coach Deb Danner. And, Coach, it's always good to catch up with you. How's the weekend treating you?
So far, so good. It's going to be a good weekend.
It is going to be a good weekend. And you guys have a weekend off, first one for a little while, Coach. You swam last Saturday. We'll talk about that here in a second. You also headed up to Sioux City on Thursday night. So a couple of different meets for the girls. Let's bounce back to that Lewis Central invite last Saturday. I know, very pleased. I know Briley Behrens finished up with the second place finish. You had some, new records and new time drops and stuff again. So I think you came out of there pretty pleased.
Yeah. Actually the girls did very well there. I'm pleased with how they swam, and yeah, Briley got up on the podium, got a medal for second place. So that was just awesome for her. And Alexis made the podium, got a fifth place. So yeah, you know, it was pretty cool to see them get up on the podium, and I think they were pretty pumped up about that, too.
What was their reaction to making the podium?
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're these little freshman girls thinking, you know, we're just going to swim our best and do what we can. And, yeah, you know, it's like, all right, you made the podium. And, I mean, they're surprised and they're happy. And, I mean, we're all happy for them, and it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling.
Let's start with Briley then, taking second in the 50 free. What? How did she swim, and what did she do so well?
Yeah, you know, she's still recovering from pneumonia. So, you know, we're like, just, you know, don't worry about it. Don't have to go hard. But, you know, she said she was feeling good, and she got a personal best. So I feel good about that too.
I'm assuming got out of the blocks well and stuff and got up to a good start.
Yeah, she did. She got out there well. She was in second place the entire race. So yeah, you know, it's like she went in second on the turn, and it's like, oh my God, just hang on to this. Just hang on to this. And yep, you know, she did. She just out-touched the third-place swimmer, so that was awesome.
That is awesome. She also took eighth in the 100 fly, so how did she feel and how did she look there, and had she recovered well from the 50 free?
No, she was still feeling the effects of the 50 free, I
wondered.
yeah. It was still a good swim, you know, with recovering, you know, it's from pneumonia, it's still taking its toll on her. It's still really kind of weighing down on her endurance right now. So, eventually it'll come back, and she'll be right back to where she needs to be with the longer races. So, yeah, I think she was pretty happy with that race, though.
Good to hear that, and hopefully the recovery comes here real quick for her, Coach. Alexis Borkowski also, as you said, making the podium in the 100 breast with a fifth-place finish. Take me through that race for her.
Yeah, she went. We set a goal for her to try and get under a 120. She was pretty close. She went a 120.46, I believe it was. But yeah, it's, you know, we talk a little bit about the things she needs to do, and, you know, I mean, she executed those great, and yeah, personal best time for her, made the podium. You know, she worked hard for it. She deserved it. It was a good race for her.
Mady also having a couple of time drops, one in the 50 free and the other in the 100 free. How's she coming along?
Yeah, you know, that little girl, she just keeps surprising us all the time. right? She just, you know, we work her to death. As far as she's concerned, we work her to death. but, you know, she's just getting stronger and stronger all the time. I mean, you know, she hit a 39.07, I think it was, in her 50 free. You know, and this is a girl who could barely make it across the pool on day one of practice. So I'm thrilled with how she's coming along with all of her races. She's just doing a fantastic job.
Thursday night, Coach, you guys headed up to Sioux City. Lewis Central was up there with you. So a couple of teams pretty familiar with, able to get a couple of relays in there. I know you finished fourth in the 200 freestyle relay and a fifth in the 200 medley relay. What and who stood out for you from Thursday night?
Yeah, so Thursday night, we had some decent times, and some times that were pretty close to the personal best, but we've already kind of started working towards regionals, so
yep.
We've been working them pretty hard all week, so we weren't really expecting a lot out of them. So just a matter of surviving races at this point. So, you know, we take what we can get. But yeah, you know, Alexis had a really good meet. Mady was showing how tired she is, and I'm absolutely fine with that, because we know when we taper, she's going to have a great taper. And like I said, Briley's still trying to recover from that pneumonia, which is tough. Charlie is just actually coming off of a sprained ankle, so coming off of walls is a little tough for her right now. So, you know, we were fine with what we saw.
Coach, you mentioned that you're working them pretty hard right now. As you mentioned earlier, a bunch of freshmen. How are they handling that, and is it what they expected, or was it probably, I'm guessing, more than what they expected?
More than what they were expecting, right? You know, and we told them we weren't really going to start prepping for regionals until Friday, but then, you know, things changed. I changed things a lot. And just decided that, you know, we just need to get going on it now already. And they noticed right away. They're like, I thought this wasn't going to happen until next week. And it's like, well, yeah. It's like, you know, next year they'll know what to expect. They know it'll change again.
Yeah, they'll know not to expect anything, right?
Right. Just expect to work hard,
yes,
period.
Absolutely, and become a better swimmer because of it.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, you know, it's, they're doing fine. They're handling it. They're getting through the yardage, and you know, and they know it's going to pump up even more yet. And yeah, you know, they're mentally getting themselves ready for it, and they'll survive it.
What kind of shape will they be in for Tuesday's meet with Algona and Perry?
Tired. I'll just be tired.
I had a feeling you might say that word.
Right. They probably are wishing this meet were on a Monday, because then they'd have, you know, today and tomorrow off to recover. But no, because Monday we're going to just work them hard again. And yeah, they're going to be tired. They'll be tired Tuesday, but You know, we've talked about this, you know, the end game here is regionals and to do well at regionals. So, they'll be tired.
Well, Coach, I hope you have fun. Enjoy the weekend away from, swim meets and swim tournaments and stuff here in the local area. So, and enjoy working the kids hard and getting them prepared for regionals. We appreciate you joining us here today, and we'll talk to you again here soon.
Great, thank you.
Head Coach Deb Danner again with the Carroll Girls Swim Team back with more on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show here on KCIM.
The St. Anthony Clinic in Carroll now offers same-day appointments with Sarah Gredman, PA, and Kendra Peter, ARMP. Same-day appointments are available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So if you're needing to see a medical professional, even if you have a sore throat or a cough, fever, cuts, earaches, or your child isn't feeling well, you can get a same-day appointment by calling St. Anthony Clinic at 792-2222. St. Anthony Regional Hospital. Always look to the cross. Always St. Anthony.
We're back here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show on this Saturday in the morning. Kemper Knights advance in volleyball, of course, into the regional final. They're going to be hosting Clarinda coming up on Tuesday night. We'll talk about that matchup a little bit with head coach Rusty Wintermote. But the Knights pick up a hard-fought 3-2 victory on Thursday to advance into that. Coach, as always, appreciate you joining us here today, and congrats on a hard-fought come-from-behind win on Thursday night.
Well, you know, as always, good morning to you, Mr. Blankman, and it's a beautiful morning every time you get a win, and the next day is always an awesome and beautiful morning. But as usual, with nothing going on Saturday, I get the opportunity to go spend some time with my oldest granddaughter. She turns 5. We're going to have a birthday party this afternoon, so I'm sure as a grandpa I'm going to be busy. Hopefully they don't make me perform anything. I can just show up and eat and enjoy seeing the young girl grow and just be around family. So, great morning so far. Great morning.
Well, hopefully she'll have you do a dance recital or something with her while you're there, right?
If I have to do that, we're not videotaping it for anybody to see on any social media.
Okay, well, that's what I was hoping for. Coach, I know I talked with Casey and caught, some of the interview the other night with him in the post game and against Des Moines Christian. Their size, you knew it coming in that they had some good size. It sounded like that was maybe a little bit of an issue for a while, and they did some things that maybe they hadn't done for either part of the season or for a long time, or maybe hadn't done, but you guys able to adjust to that. What was the adjustments you had to make to be able to come back after falling down 2-1?
Well, the one thing we knew is that, you're right, their size was a big factor in how we were going to have to defend them. The two players that we really tried to focus on that we had success in game one against was that we decided their 6-foot center, who's a lefty, had the ability to dump and attack when she was up front. So we decided to take our left side hitters, and Coach Boz knows a little trend on that when we were working on it. But we matched up Mariah and Colby, basically Mariah. Mariah was kind of like that linebacker in football that she just shadowed wherever the center went and tried to make sure to get touches, blocks, just something to slow the ball down, because she had a really quick swing as far as the center goes in attacking. And I thought in set one and even in set 4 and 5, we really, really did a good job of taking that away from her. But it wasn't necessarily that part that we knew she was going to get her points. But what I felt like we did well in solving some of the things or trying to create some things was that we won the out-of-system balls, because our goal was to force them into a lot of out-of-system to keep the setter off the net so she couldn't do a lot of those dumps and strikes. And when we did, it really allowed our defenders to basically have a little more free reign to try and stop the middle, who liked to slide, take care of their big outside hitter. And, those 3 games, 1, 4, and 5, when we won those battles, we were, very successful. But in games 2 and 3, when we served probably It wasn't awesome, but it was just average, which allowed their center to be more active at the net. And we would still get some touches, but when the ball bounced around, she was really good at going up and attacking quick attacking quicker than we could close with Brianna and Mariah. So we just had to find a way to slow that down, take some guesses. Is she going to go to the middle or is she going to attack? And so we just decided, you know, even in those two games we lost, that Mariah and Bree had to start working more in a tandem together and really kind of just, you know, set up between, because the middle would come in at an angle attack and always hit to her right. So we just made Bree get on her hand side of her swing, which allowed Mariah to close a little bit more. So taking a chance that we could prevent them from having success. And we hung in there. Game two, we were up. We just didn't finish some plays. And then the setter started finishing some plays. So really, I think the biggest adjustment we had to make was just making sure to win the out-of-system balls and make the setter have to run around so that she could not attack at the net. And really, I think that was, to me, that was the solution to the problem in dealing with a setter like that, and then taking their hitter out because she had to hit deeper than what they're used to. So they didn't do anything different that we hadn't seen on video. It was, how can we prevent them from being successful at that? And that was kind of our formula. And the girls just hung in there. They had to keep hanging in there. They just found a way. They didn't give up. This is a group that just fights. And you know, I told Casey, it was, you know, the old Herb Brooks, you know, the kids didn't know who Herb Brooks was, but they had to bring up the Olympics and hockey. And we just talked about, you know, great opportunities come from great, great moments. And these were great moments for them to have opportunities to take care of. And they just kind of kept, I believe in that thought, and every opportunity they could get, especially in game four and five, they took advantage of. So very pleased with their adjustment within the game, but just staying with the game plan that we created on the day before, you know, on Wednesday's practice.
Coach, you finished with 24 blocks in the ballgame, which definitely helps out the back row. But I did have somebody that was there text me and mentioned that Brooke Roy had a really nice night. I know she finished up with 15 digs. Kaylee had 32, and Elsa Tiefenthaler chipped in 22. But, you know, the growth of Brooke has been really impressive.
You know, Brooke, you're right. That was probably one of Brooke's better coverage nights, and she did a really nice job of reading the back row attacker and then just the attack from their outside hitters. Brooke had been going for several games where she would have moments of, that's Brooke that we know that can play, and then she'd have moments like she would, it would just bother her and she just couldn't get out of a little funk. But Brooke has worked really hard in practice to practice reading the hands of what the hitters are doing. And she was able to anticipate, you know, sometimes we just tell her, and we tell them all, but for Brooke, we just said, Brooke, I said, go to this A spot and then go to this B spot. And then after that, I just want you to read and I want you to take chances and be athletic. I said, we have you back here for a reason. And because you have grown so much and we trust what you're going to do. And so Brooke just really kind of, she did a great job of doing her assignment, you know. When she did her A, okay, if they're attacking, I'm here on the next one. But then I've got to just kind of take she's just going to take a chance. I see it this way, I'm going to go. If you miss it, you miss it. But at least you weren't standing still trying to play something. So Brooke's goal was to be busy with her feet and movement all the time last night. So as you stated, probably the best night Brooke's had in a long time, especially against a good hitting team. And we needed that. And then, you know, what she was doing, diving on the floor and keeping the ball active and just kind of fed off of everybody else and gave us. And really, you know, when you ask her to save balls, she was saving them to a point, not save, but she was passing them to a point where the setters had opportunities to do something for the hitters. you know, it's not always been like that for her. And she's slowly growing back into that. Because she was like that at the beginning of the season, kind of ran into a little bit of a lull. But then last night, after, again, a day of practice and working just specifically on those situations, she was able to keep the ball to the point where the setters didn't have to run 100 miles to get it. And when that can happen, I feel like our hitters have better opportunities to have a chance to score.
Coach, you guys able to sweep by Harlan on Tuesday to get into that Des Moines Christian matchup. Looked impressive that night. Now you get another Hawkeye 10 conference test with Clarinda. You were able to get them earlier this year down there. Now they come to your place for the right to head to the state tournament. What will be different, do you think, for them in this match, and what do you got to do to come out of there with a win?
Well, I think what's going to be different is they'll probably adjust their server seed, because that was one thing that we hurt them with, was with our serve. The set that they won, they passed fairly well. And also, too, Jersey Knight really served well, kind of served us out of that first game. But then the other three games, we passed well enough and against, you know, that strong serve that Jersey Knight has. But we also did a better job of we did a nice job of taking away the angle shots and then playing outside with our right and left backs to take away line. And you know, the left back and the right back were probably going to have to be very much more disciplined, because their hitters will hit sharp angles. But they run a really quick attack in the middle that we're going to have to do a good job of reading it. But I think what we're going to have to do differently is really attack their seams on our serve, and then show more confidence when Jersey Knight is serving, and to allow ourselves to get our hitters involved, because I feel like we might have the advantage, at least size-wise, but Clarinda is going to run at you fast. Right side, left side, they're going to focus on Jersey and the other outside hitter. So we've got to be ready for our block to be able to transfer from our base defense into that attacker on the left side or our right, that we can at least get touches to save our back and not overplay our discipline and not get sucked in, because as soon as we get sucked in on the left side in, Jersey Knight's going to sharpen angle it down. So for her size, she gets up and explodes with a really good swing. So we just have to be disciplined in our phase of the game and keep it simple and silly, like we've always talked about before. Do your assignment and then everything else will fall in play. But I'm expecting a good turnout from, you know, Clarinda will travel really well, because it's been since 2017 since they've been in a regional final. And so they're going to travel and they're going to come bring everything they have. So it's got to be the team that decides to keep the ball off the floor as much as they can. And we have a drill called no touch, and that's got to be our goal, is no touch. And then we out hustle them and we out hustle each other. And hopefully that plays in our favor when we play Clarinda.
Well, Coach, as always, appreciate all the time. Enjoy the birthday party today. Have a great weekend, and good luck next week.
We shall, and thank you for your time as well. Enjoy your Saturday, and without a tournament game going to, you might be able to actually do something Nebraska-wise.
Now, I'm actually helping a buddy dig post holes today that are going to be 3 to 4 foot deep, so... That's what my day will be.
Radio.
Yes, I will.
You better listen to the radio. Sure.
I will certainly have the game on. Coach, have a great one, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
All right, Mr. Blakeman, thank you for your time and efforts with sponsor our broadcasting Kemper Volleyball.
You bet. Head coach again, Rusty Wintermoat, with the Kemper Volleyball team. We're back with more from the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show here on KCIM. That's going to wrap up the Peach Ranch Coaches Show for this Saturday morning. Thanks again to Craig Rowitter, Ryan Steinkamp, Riley Ludwig, Thomas Nelson, Deb Danner, and Rusty Wintermoat. I'll get something on the website. Check out the sports schedules page on the features drop-down menu. I'll get it out on the CB Sports Network website, Facebook, and Twitter pages. When those pairings come out at 10 o'clock, we'll let you know what games we're covering and who our area schools are playing later on this week, coming up this coming Friday again. For Carroll, the first round of the playoffs, and for everybody else, the second round of the playoffs. That's going to wrap up the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. Appreciate you joining us. Enjoy the weekend, everybody.